Yes, we are in a war. We are in a battle. We are in a contest. In the context of our text, our subject this morning, we are in a race. That is the contest that we are in. We are in a war. We are in a race. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12. Just look at the book of Hebrews. We have a little over 2 pages left in my Bible. We'll be finished with the book of Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? For if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. Isn't that why we're here today? To lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're in a contest, and that contest is the race that we are in. It is a fight of faith. Remember that old statement I used to love to make? The fundamental and eternal issue has always been belief versus unbelief. There's so much more to faith than people realize. It takes faith to come to church. It takes faith to tithe. It takes faith to worship God. It takes faith for so many things. Who would tithe if they didn't believe the Word of God? That's faith. We tithe because we believe God's Word. Right?
Yeah.
That's why. And when we don't tithe, we're in essence admitting, I don't believe it. Am I right?
Yeah.
If I don't, I'm saying I don't believe it. If God says go and I stay, I don't believe Him. If he says, don't curse, and I do, well, I've got a problem, of course, but something's wrong. Something's wrong, okay? So we're in this race, and it's a race, it's a fight of faith. The fundamental and eternal issue, and I add a few words to this good man's statement, Dr. Edward Feist. The fundamental and eternal issue is and always has been belief versus unbelief. So Paul encourages us. And as we browse through Hebrews 11, we can find all that encouragement, and we can find out that that's who he's talking about when he says, wherefore, seeing we also come as an also great cloud of witnesses. He just finished verse 11. He just finished talking about Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and all the others listed in Hebrews chapter 11. So Paul encourages us. He says, just look at that cloud of witnesses that I was just talking about. Look at Abel. Look at how he stood. It cost him his life because he was a witness. We're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Now the verse, the word witness, in you look it up in your Greek. What's the number? I have it here somewhere. But you look it up in your Greek concordance. Witness means martyr. Because people who witnessed in those days were martyred. And people who witness in these days, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, without a shadow of doubt, suffer persecution. Wow. And you thought the world loved you. You just take Jesus' side, you'll see how much they love you. So, now some will love you and get saved, absolutely, but some will hate you and kill you. We know that's the record. Read it. He's telling us, okay, I want to encourage you because you're in a race now. You're in a race, not to get rich and not to be successful. You're in a race, not to save your own life. For he that seeketh to save his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it or save it. Okay, so he's saying we're in this race. And now Paul says, I want to encourage you, whoever the writer of Hebrews is, I want to encourage you. Look at Abel. Look what he went through. Yeah, it cost him his life, but he was a faithful martyr. Praise the Lord. And then he says, look at Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Nobody can walk with God in a wicked world like this. I mean, it's difficult, Brother Tamberger. You know that it was easy years ago when they didn't have this and they didn't have that. They didn't have all this violence. They didn't have TV and they didn't have the movies like they have now. And they didn't have all this immorality that they have today. Brother Tamberger, it's so hard to live for God. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, hey, look at Enoch. He lived in a generation that was wicked. Look at Noah. He lived in a generation that was wicked. More wicked than this one. Because he hasn't destroyed this one yet. He destroyed that one and became so wicked. But we're approaching those days, and those are the signs that we look to. Amen. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, look at Abel. Look at Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And I hope that's the generation we live in, that we can just walk with God no matter what happens, and the rapture will take place, and God will take us away out of this mess. Amen. And he's going to, he promised to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when you browse through Hebrews chapter 11, you do it to gain encouragement. Look at verse 6. That's talking the verse after Enoch. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, you're living dangerously without faith as far as eternity and an eternal reward is concerned. Oh, how we need faith. Amen. So he's saying, and then go on and look at Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And then he says, after talking about them, these all died in faith. Sure, we're going to die, but let's die in faith. Let's live by faith, and let's die in faith. Let's not die in unbelief. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then he goes on, and he says, look at Moses. What was Moses' attitude? I think Moses' attitude was encapsulated in that one statement, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life will soon be passed. There's another life coming. And only what's done for Christ will last. So we have to get our priorities in order. We have to spend our time properly so that we can be able to say only one life will soon be passed and only what's done for Christ will last. Then he talks about Rahab, and he talks about Gideon, he talks about Barak, he talks about Samson, he talks about Jephthah, and he talks about David. Boy, when I came to David, I had to think a little, and I thought, I can just hear. See, all these people are pictured as sitting in the grandstands. They're all up there in heaven, where the grandstands I'm talking about are located. We're down here on earth, and they're up there. Now, it's their record that's talking. It's their record that's talking. But I can see David, if he could communicate verbally with us, I can see David looking down on us at some poor saint, some poor child of God that was baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost, and they're in the pig pen of sin. And David's looking down on there and he's saying, get up! You don't have to stay there. You don't have to die there. Get up! Get up! Get up! Go to the fountain of blood that's been prepared for you, and wash yourself in the blood of the Lamb and get back in the race and run, run, run. I think that's what David would be saying if he could just look over and talk to us. If you have slipped and stumbled and fallen, get up, get up. I think that's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us here. He says, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now let's learn from all of this and lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Then he talks after David, he talks about Samuel, and he talks about the prophets. And then we come down to verse 33, and he says of all of these, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were sown, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. That's enough right there to make my point. These all obtained a good report through faith. In other words, they ran the race. They finished the race. And they won the race. It says here that they saw the promises afar off. Or even from afar off. They saw the promises of God. And they were persuaded of them. They had faith in God's word. That if God said it, it was guaranteed it would come to pass. And they went on and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If you're not a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth, you're not going to be able to lay aside the every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset you. Because redeem the time. Because the days are evil. The circumstances are evil. The place we live is evil. That's this world. So saints of God, be encouraged this morning. We cannot stop running. We cannot get tired. We cannot quit. We cannot give up. We've got to go on. But somebody says, but things are so hard for me, Brother Tamberg. I just can't go on. I'm out of strength. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted from this race that I can't even put one foot in front of the other anymore. And I'm at a dead stop here. I can't move on. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. It's telling us what these people went through. And when I think I've got it hard, and when I'm struggling with going on and getting that one foot in front of the other one, I got to go back and read that 11th book of Hebrews. You ought to see my old Thompson Chain Bible that I bought in 1945. I mean, Hebrews 11 is tear-stained. It is absolutely soiled. I have that somewhere. I can show you. My wife has taken that Bible and showed it to many people because that's where in my maturing years of being a Christian that I have gained my encouragement. I've gone to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and I've read about those people and I've said they were human beings. They were flesh and blood just like I am. They lived in a body just like I do. They were born in sin just like I was. And I'm reading about them and what they accomplished and what they suffered. They ran the race. They finished the race. They won the race. And I'm going to do it. That's the way I feel. I get encouragement from that and I just drive myself on. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to do it. And so I suggest to myself and I suggest to you that we keep coming to church even when we don't feel like it, even when we're having problems, maybe marriage problems, maybe family problems, problem with our children, problems with our parents, maybe problems with one of the other saints in the church, or maybe the pastor stepped on your toes in his last Bible study. And emphasize Bible, because that's usually what steps on our toes, the Bible. Praise the Lord. But I just say, my encouragement to you is keep coming to church, even when things don't look good, even when the clouds are so thick and the darkness is so dark that you can't see 6 feet in front of you. Just grope through the darkness and get your hand on that doorknob to the church and pull it open and go on in. Praise the Lord and receive the light that you will get there. Keep praying. Even when the walls are hard and the ceiling seems like lead, keep praying. I've heard more people tell me that lately than I have in all my life. I'm trying to pray. I'm praying, but the walls are stone. I can't get through. My words just echo back to me. But I say, just keep on praying. God is there. Just like you look up on a cloudy day, a dark cloudy day, and you get in an airplane, and you take off, and you pierce through those clouds. The sun is shining, friend. It's shining. We just don't see it for a season once in a while, but it's shining up there. And God is there, even when the ceiling seems like lead. God is there, and He hears a whole lot more than we think He does. He may be testing us to see what's in us. Are we going to keep running the race? Are we going to lay down? Are we going to quit? Are we going to give up? No, we can't do it. We got to keep reading our Bibles even when we have to stop and read it over and over because we're not comprehending what we're reading. We're not getting anything out of it. It's happened to me. It'll happen to you. If it hasn't yet, it will, because God will test us. And so what I do is when I'm reading the Bible, first of all, you read it silently so you don't disturb your wife or anybody else in the house. And you're not getting anything out of it, so you start reading, wherefore, seeing we all circumpassed about, and you're still not getting out of it. How many have ever read about half a dozen verses or even a chapter, and you look back and say, what did I read? I can't even remember what I read. I've done it. You're all smiling. You've all done it, probably. And so then I go like this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, I start shouting when I read. And pretty soon, something pierces through that blockage, you know, and you're starting to get it. Just do it, saints. I encourage you to keep coming to church, keep praying, keep reading, even when it seems futile, even when it seems hopeless. There's a God who loves you, and He just may be testing us. And so we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, their record is there. It's established, and they are urging us on. And I can read there and how they, what they suffered and how they suffered, what all they went through, and I can just hear them saying, run, run, run. You know, it's not just their record that we have now. That's the Old Testament record of the Old Testament saints, of the Old Testament prophets and judges and men of God and the faithful in the Old Testament. But we also have approximately 2,000 years of New Testament encouragement. We have all the apostles in the New Testament, the prophets in the New Testament. We have the whole New Testament written. It's in ink on paper for us to read, and we can gain all that encouragement from them. They didn't have that, and they still ran the race, and they still finished the race, and they still won the race. We've got the Old Testament cloud of witnesses plus a New Testament cloud of witnesses. Just get in the book of Revelation, the messages to the seven churches, and read about Antipas, my faithful martyr. If anything's been an encouragement to me, it's been that verse. My faithful martyr, Antipas. Who is Antipas? You've heard me say this before, but I ran down the basement. I got a copy of the encyclopedia. I looked up Antipas. I could find Herod Antipas 1, Herod Antipas 2, but I could not find this Antipas. Nobody knew this Antipas in this Bible, in this book, this verse in the book of Revelation. But God knew him. God knew him, praise the Lord, and he called him my faithful martyr Antipas. You might be out there running this race, and somebody takes a shot at you, and you are out of the race because you're dead now. You have finished the race, you won the race, and you think, I died out here in the wilderness. Nobody saw me. Nobody saw me accomplish these feats for the Lord. Nobody knows about my faithfulness. Yes, one knows. He said, my faithful martyr. The world doesn't know. I went down and got another encyclopedia. I still couldn't. I went to the dictionary. I still couldn't find it. Couldn't find it anywhere. You go to the Palubitz Bible Dictionary and all these other sources. Nobody knows anything about this man except Jesus Christ. He said, he's my faithful martyr. That should be good enough for me. That should be good enough for me. If I die out on a lonely highway somewhere, in a cave somewhere, just being faithful to God, and he says, my faithful martyr, praise the Lord. That's not all we have. We have the church today, which says in the book of Hebrews, exhort one another. Exhort one another. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to encourage one another, exhort one another, and so on. Well, somebody might say, and somebody did say once, do I really need all that? After all, I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm saved. I don't need all this. I said, oh, yes, you really do. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. The Bible says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. And now in our text today, the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That word compassed means to lie all around, encircle, enclose, surround. We are surrounded by all this encouragement. I feel for myself that I have no excuse for backsliding for myself. I feel for myself that I have no excuse for slipping backward. I feel that I must go on because God has been good to give me the 11th chapter of Hebrews and all those examples, a cloud of witnesses, besides 2,000 years of New Testament encouragement, besides a church current today that encourages one another. Every time you come to church, every time I stand behind this pulpit and I see your face again and again, 2, 3, 4 times a week sometimes, I just rejoice in my heart because you're an encouragement to me. Praise the Lord that this thing is not only real for me, but it's real for you too. Cloud of witnesses. Amen. That's what cloud meant. It frequently stood for a great host. in both secular Greek literature and in the Old Testament. And that's a quote out of our Man in Heaven, our textbook. One time we went through the book of Hebrews before. And witnesses means martyr. The very, when you read martyr, my faithful martyr, you look it up, it'll say witness. You look up witness, it'll say martyr. Thank you, brother. Okay, so Stephen was a martyr. Stephen was a martyr. Antipas was a martyr. Jesus was a martyr. Jesus was the faithful witness, the faithful martyr. They were all martyred for their faith. Someone said, a faithful witness is one who is prepared to die for his faith, and Jesus most certainly did. Any other kind of witness would be a false witness. Ooh. You're my witnesses, martyrs. Anyone who's not prepared to die for his faith is a false Christian, a false witness. That needs to sink in, doesn't it? Because Jesus said, take up your cross. A cross. That's not sweetened iced tea with a wedge of lemon. That's not mashed potatoes and gravy. That's not luxuriating through this life. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. He said, he that seeketh to save his life will lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So we have this great cloud of witnesses, a great host of witnesses and martyrs, praise the Lord, that are there for our encouragement. Oh, if they could only describe the beauty that they have seen, the beauty they are experiencing, the beauty that they are enjoying. Oh, I don't think any one of us would look back at all. We go forward with accelerated before. Praise the Lord. Let us lay aside every weight. Well, how do I know what to lay aside? Well, I'll put it this way. If it hinders you, lay it aside. But what's wrong with snowmobiling? I didn't say it was wrong. I said if it hinders you from growing in grace and the knowledge of Him, lay it aside. Well, what's wrong with owning a boat and a motor? I didn't say there was anything wrong with it. I said if it hinders you, lay it aside. He's not talking about sin here. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, which does so easily beset us. Like he's making a distinction there. Let's look at it a little longer. I would say this. You have a vacation plan. If it's going to hinder you in your spiritual walk with God, then cancel your vacation. What's wrong with going on vacation? I didn't say that. I'm on record. I'm on record saying it's not wrong to go on vacation unless it's taking you away from God and you come back less spiritual than you went. Okay? So, ladies like the mall, they call it. That's new. I thought a mall was something you picked up, a strong man, and hit a block of cement and busted it up. But now the ladies go mauling, I heard. And, you know, they go from mall to mall and that. And I didn't say there's anything wrong with mall. I just say if it hinders you in your walk with God, give it up. Whatever hinders you, lay aside. Even if it's not wrong, if it hinders you, and the weight, every weight, lay it aside, and the sin which does so easily beset us. And you know, that's a symptom, really, but people will come to a pastor and say, is it wrong to this? Well, generally, people that say, is it wrong, are looking for the boundary. I want to get to the edge and sniff through the fence. I don't want to cross over because I do want to go to heaven, but I want to do everything I can get by with. You know, that's not life more abundantly. I want to get right out in the middle and just try to drown in it, you know. Wow, the blessings of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know what I mean by that? Just be saturated with it. You can never get satiated with it. Just saturated. Okay, so if somebody says to me, is it wrong to do this? Well, my answer is, if it hinders you from reading the Bible, if it hinders you from praying, if it hinders you from going to church, lay it aside. Lay it aside. Amen. Even if it's not wrong. You know, runners trim their bodies. They take off every excessive pound they can take off and get along. And some of them look atrocious to me. They look like they're starving to death. You've seen pictures of some of them, you know, their arms are so toothpick skinny and so on. But they're out there running. And they're getting rid of every pound they can. And one runner, marathon runner, who's a friend of mine, he grabbed me here. Then he grabbed him here and he'd say, feel the difference. You know? Well, I'm not a marathon runner. And I have a few extra pounds, and I don't think it's a sin to have a few extra pounds myself. I sure hope it's not. But runners trim their bodies every pound. And I'm not so sure it's wrong to weigh 1 pound more. Maybe spiritually it is. Yes, it is. But if it hinders you in that marathon race, then they get rid of it. That's what they do. And so it's not wrong, but they shed it anyway because they're running and they want to win that race. Now we're in a spiritual race and we're running and we've got to keep running. Amen. And we've got to lay aside every weight that would hinder us and hold us back. And the sin. And I suppose that sin could be many things. And we'll never be out of the reach of sin or out of the reach of temptation as long as we're on this side of eternity. We'll never be out of the reach of it until we finish our race and win our race. In my opinion, the sin was thus so easily beset us. Now, you do not have to accept my opinion here. But in my opinion, the easily besetting sin is unbelief. That's my opinion. I think unbelief is the worst of all sins. Because it's unbelief that's the root cause of all other sins, really. Isn't it? Isn't it unbelief that would keep you away from church? It's not important. I don't believe it's important. So it's unbelief. It's unbelief, like I said, it'll keep you from reading your Bible, keep you from praying, keep you from tithing, and all these things. So unbelief, or whatever your besetting sin is, and there's a lot of material you can read on that. But listen, before we close this morning, the world is also running a race, and they're running hard. Listen, they're burning the candle at both ends to win their race. And they're burning the midnight oil to win their race. They're staying up late. And their race is for success. They're running in circles. They're building on sand. And it won't be long, and they're going to discover their loss. We're not running in that race, folks. We're not running in that race for wealth, fame, success. We're running in another race. And by the way, we're not running in circles. When we come to church, that's a straight line to heaven. When we kneel at this altar, that's a straight course to heaven. When we open our Bibles and read and digest and assimilate, that's on the straight course to heaven. It's the world that's getting dizzy, running in circles. We are not running in circles. We are not building on sand. We know what the end of our faith will bring. The end of your faith is the salvation of your souls, the Bible says. And we will soon discover our reward. And they'll discover their loss. Their crown is corruptible. It's going to decay and turn to ashes. The Bible says that our crown is incorruptible. And it fadeth not away. It is eternal. Praise the Lord. I'm going for that crown, folks. How many are with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I say again, if the grandstands could verbally communicate with us, they would be screaming, run, run, run. But there are other voices that are screaming, come with us to the party. We're having a big party down here. It's homecoming, and we're all going to get drunk, and we're going to destroy this and do that. Come to the party. Come and smoke pot with us. Come, come, and shoot this and do that. Come, come with us. Come and drink. Oh, man, we're going to get stoned tonight. Come with us. And all these voices are screaming at our young people especially. And they're saying, come with us. But oh, if we could just open Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12 now, and just turn them out, change the frequency, and listen into the grandstands of heaven calling. It's not come to our party. It's run, 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 run the race. Get up and run. Come out of that crowd. Run, run, run. Praise the Lord. Heaven's not far away. Eternity is about to dawn on us. Listen to this, too. He says, run with patience the race that is set before us. To run with patience. How do you run with patience? Well, we're not in a 100-yard dash. This is not a little sprint. This is a long-distance race. This is a marathon that we are running in. And the Bible says, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. The Bible says, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Paul said, I have finished my course. Paul said, I have kept the faith. You know, the freshman that drops out of high school doesn't get the diploma. You got to finish high school. You got to finish your senior year. You got to pass the grades. Then you get your diploma. You have to finish the course. And that's the way it is. We got to run with patience the race that is set before us. Finish it and win it. And so the real need is not periodic, sudden excitement. I've seen people come to church and they just need a touch from God because they're starting to live in sin again and they're failing. And they get under conviction and they come to church and you lay your hands on them. They come to the altar and the saints pray with them. And I'm not making fun of it, but that's what they do. They come and they get all shook up by the Holy Ghost, they talk in tongues, sweat a little, and they go home feeling so good. But what they've done is run a 100-yard dash. They're not in the marathon. They get up the next morning, they don't read their Bibles, they don't pray, they miss Bible study on Wednesday night, they miss worship service on Friday night, and so they get weak again. That's what happens. So Paul says to the Galatians, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? He said, many have run clear out of patience. Some people just run out of patience. But it's not a periodic sudden excitement. It's steady endurance that we need. Now come to the altar and get filled, but don't stay away for 5 years and then get refilled. Get filled every time you come. Stay full of the Holy Ghost, right? Praise the Lord. So how do you run with patience? I'll close with this. First of all, let me tell you something. There is a symptom of impatience. I have concluded that there is a symptom, a telltale symptom of when a Christian has impatience.
Why doesn't God do something?
And I'm not making fun. But that's a symptom of impatience. And when you come to this doctor, he's going to treat the root cause. I will tell you, the Bible says, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. That word wait means patient. Be patient. They that are patient for me.
Woo!
Think of that. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed to have patience that wait for me. And now the one we all know, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as of eagles. They shall run. Everybody say it.
Run.
Let us run this race with patience. How do you do it? Wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Shall we stand?